Korean orphans are. And he was with the missionaries when they found her. Through about 10 months of processing, we were able to adopt her and grant her immigration privileges to our country, and she became our child. He got to bring her home when his tour of duty was up, and though she was not born to me in the usual sense, she was God-given to us, and shall I say, born from our hearts.
Where did you? Now, for the next about 25 minutes, I beseech your rapt attention. I would ask there be no moving around at all. Everyone find a seat, and we discuss for a moment a beautiful little story in the Word of God. I thought I didn't intend to do this, but I looked out this morning and I saw Elaine, and I happened to think that KK, I didn't know till this morning, that means Korean kid. I didn't know that. Karen is her name, but KK was deserted as a baby, and I thought, what a tremendous illustration for this story. Listen, I'll tell you a very sweet story. I have studied the book of Ezekiel, I think, perhaps as much as any other book in the Bible. I think there's more good preaching in the book of Ezekiel than any book of the Old Testament and perhaps any book in the Bible. Ezekiel lost his wife. She died. And I'm not exactly sure when this happened, though I think it did happen, because Ezekiel used it in the 16th chapter of his book, talking about Israel. But it is believed, by this preacher at least, that one day Ezekiel found a baby. The baby had not even been properly prepared. It had just been born and left to die. Blood was caked on his face. And Ezekiel took the baby, and I'll tell you the story about it in a few minutes. I was in Texas, out visiting one day in Texas, and came to a home, one of our fine ladies in our church. She became that. She was not saved then. I knocked on the door, and she came to the door, and I said, I'm Brother Hiles, pastor of Miller Road Baptist Church here in Garland. And we began to talk, and I said, where are you from? And she told me, and she said, told me this story. Her name was Anderson. She said that I was born in a certain city, and my mother did not want me. She placed me in a haystack, down in the hay, so I would suffocate, and left me to die. She said, someone came by and heard me whimper, and they with their hands clawed the hay and found me, a little baby, about to die. They took me to their home, and they nurtured me to health, and they reared me. That's about what Ezekiel did. Ezekiel one day was passing by. Maybe his wife had died previously, maybe not. I do not think his wife lived to help him rear the child. But Ezekiel saw a little baby, and the little baby was not very pretty. It was bathed in blood. It had not been swaddled, as the Bible says. No doubt, it was still unclothed. But Ezekiel saw, and by the way, this was not an unusual thing at all. For the heathen nations around the Promised Land often would take deformed babies and lay them out to die. The Jews never did this. I mean, it was not a custom at all of the Jews, but nations around them often practiced such heathen policy. Also, Sparta, for example, the Spartans, they used to take their babies, their deformed ones, to the foot of a holy mountain. And there they would leave their deformed babies at the foot of this mountain, there to die. It was not unusual for the Egyptian neighbors of the Israelites, for the Egyptians would take their babies, and especially those who were deformed, and would throw them as sacrifices into the crocodiles' mouths of the Nile River. And so Ezekiel, no doubt, though he was surprised, it was not an uncommon thing for a baby to be seen lying out in the yard somewhere, as was the case in the life of KK, a little Korean baby. Ezekiel took the baby, and his heart melted. Now, can you feature this man of God, a man of compassion, a man of understanding, a man who lived with the people, a prophet of God, who loved the people and loved God, came one day and he saw the little baby, and maybe he heard the faint cry of the little baby. And Ezekiel's heart melted. And so, he took the baby. The baby was a child of an Amorite and a Hittite. Had half Amorite blood and half Hittite blood, and both were cursed nations. And here's a little baby of nations that are cursed, touching the heart of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, now anybody, any man knows this is not normal for a man. I know when Becky was born, I got in the back room and papered the wall with pussy willows, little kittens climbing up the pussy willows. And took me about 4 months to paper that one room. Listen, if I ever fall from grace, it'll be papering a wall, I'll let it for sure. Ezekiel, a big, hard-hitting preacher, a man, man's man, if ever was one in the Bible, Ezekiel was a man's man, a man of courage, a man of masculinity. And Ezekiel took that little baby, and the Bible says he first took his coat, and he spread the coat over the little baby, and then he talked to him and made a covenant. And this is about what he said. He said, little fella or little girl, I just forgot to check which it was. By the way, did you hear about that lady in Australia that had 9? Huh? The Streeters don't have that many at a time. He's gone now preaching somewhere. But no joke, 9 of them. 2 of them are stillborn and 7 are alive. Now, boy, that's the biggest litter I've heard of in a long time. But anyway, Ezekiel began to talk to little baby. And he said, now, little tyke, this is all in the Hebrew, by the way. He said, little tyke, he said, I want to make a covenant with you. I'm going to take you home with me. And I'm going to take care of you. And I want you to be mine. I'm going to promise you now that I'll take care of you. And so Ezekiel washed away the blood from the little baby. He put oil on the baby's body. Oil was olive oil, healing agency. He put oil on the baby's bottle. He went down and bought the baby some clothes, a little layette, if you please. And he got the baby some clothes, and he got some embroidered clothes, the Bible says, some shoes made of, forgotten all of a sudden now, what make the shoes of, badger skins, right, badger skins. And some shoes, and he got some little linen clothes for the baby, and some silk clothes for the baby, and a little hat for the baby. Didn't say he got the baby a football and a baseball bat, but I imagine he did. And Ezekiel adopted the baby. And then he went down to the jewelry store or a little baby shop, and he bought a little bracelet for the baby and some earrings for the little tyke and a locket around its neck. Can you picture this preacher finding this baby and going down to the baby store and buying a lot of little baby clothes, silk and embroidered stuff and linen and little locket for its neck and bracelet for its arm and earrings. I don't know if the babies wear earrings now or not, but earrings. And Ezekiel was so proud that he fixed the baby up and got the best of food. The Bible lists the food that he fed the baby. I won't go into it, but got the best of food and nurtured the baby to health. But not only to health, he reared the baby. And the child grew. I wish I could tell you. KK, may I say, I hope this is the case in your life. I hope you'll always be grateful to your mother and father for what they've done for you. I think it's a very good thing that they have told you the story. A lot of people do not tell children, but Mrs. Colston and Brother John, they always tell KK the story, and they said, that means we love you maybe even more. We chose you to be ours. You see, when Brother Fisk's mother had him, she just took what came, and look what came. We chose you to be ours. I think that ought to always be true. After all they've done for you, I think you ought to always be a good girl and be proud of mother and father and always make them proud of you and always be grateful. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could say this baby grew up and honored Ezekiel and said, Ezekiel, I thank God for what you've done for me and I want to be grateful to you for what you've done for me. I wish I could tell you that this baby grew up to be a fine, I think it was a girl, be a fine young lady and to be a great Christian and to serve God. I wish I could tell you that this young lady became the fairest of all the young ladies of the land and a great missionary or a great servant for God. I wish I could. But the truth is I can't tell you that because that's not what happened. The story does not end that way. The honest truth is she became an adulteress. She became a whoremonger. She became perhaps a prostitute, a harlot, if you please, and brought reproach on the name of Ezekiel and the name of Ezekiel's God. I wish I could tell you a better story. Now, there's something here for us. Ezekiel, this happened, I think it happened to him, And Ezekiel took this story, and from the story, he would preach to the Jews. And he would liken the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, to this poor little baby that was found in the field. And he would liken himself to God. And Ezekiel would say to the Jewish nation, "Now, folks, listen to me. Listen," he'd say, "you, a nation, were forsaken and naked and bloody and alone and unloved. And God came and took you and made you his own and gave you his love and gave you his tender care and clothed you and fed you." And in the putting of the garment on the baby, I think Ezekiel said that pictured the fact that God covers us with his own righteousness. And in buying linen garment, that pictures the perfectness of the garment. And in buying embroidered garment, that pictures the wonders of salvation. And in buying the silk, that pictures the evenness and the beauty of salvation. And in giving the food, that pictures the Word of God and all that God does for us. And in taking us to a home, you turn me down just a bit this morning, fellas, a little bit down. And in the giving of a home in the ring, it pictures what God does for each of us after he saves us. He comes, he finds us naked, he finds us alone, he finds us in blood, he finds us destitute, he finds us unloved. And Ezekiel said, "Israel, God did the same thing for you." And then he turned around and he said, the tragic thing is, turn me down, please, fellas, turn me down. Can you hear me up there? Turn me down, please. And so he said, "I've done the same thing. God's done the same thing for you." Now he said this, the tragic thing, Israel, is this, you've been adulterous too. You've left the God who picked you up. You've left the God who saved you. You've left the God who clothed you. You've left the God who cared for you. You've left the God who fed you. And how ungrateful it is, he said, how ungrateful you are when God has done so much for you to have left that God. Now there's two or three things this morning I'd like to say. In the first place, there's a warning here. God is warning us. He says, now Ezekiel is me, and that little baby, or Ezekiel is God, that little baby is me. And we're all in the condition that we're God, when God found us, we're all like that little baby. Unloved, naked, uncared for, out in the woods somewhere, out in the field somewhere, without any care. And God came along, and God loved us. How good God has been. I've been thinking lately, how good God has been to me. You know, what we ought to do every once in a while, we ought to just stop, every one of us, and just list all the good things that God has done for us. Can you stop and realize this morning, here's a little baby. That little baby ought to say when he gets old, how lucky I've been. Man alive, I could have died there. That little lady in Garland, Texas, she said to me after she got saved, she said, "Brother Hiles," she said, "some dear lady came, I've forgotten who it was, and found me in the haystack, and she took me to her own home. And she nurtured me to health, and she loved me, and she reared me, and she cared for me." And then her lips began to quiver, and she said, "I love her. I love her. I love her." She said, "Reverend, there's nothing I wouldn't do for her." "Oh," she said, "Reverend, she's been just like a mother to me. How good she's been to me." And she began to list all the things. She said, "She put me in a bed that was mine, just like our own baby. And she gave me a private room, just like our own baby. And she fed me, just like our own baby. And she loved me, just like our own baby." And she said she loved me and cared for me. And she said, "Oh, how good she's been to me." And she began to cry and say, "I'll love her. I'll do anything for her." And that's what we ought to say this morning. I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. People oftentimes say, "Brother Hiles, what warms your heart more than anything else?" I'll tell you what warms my heart. When I remember that I was a poor drunkard's boy, and we were very poor, and I went barefooted to church and to school, and wore hand-me-down clothes, and we were on the relief. The WPA, remember the old WPA? You rich folks don't know what it is, but we're on the WPA. And I went to church the first time in a city church. I went barefooted with khaki trousers and their thatch and a poor little boy. And God in his mercy saw fit to save me. And God in his mercy saw fit to call me to preach. And now for these 25 wonderful years, God has seen fit to bless my little labor of love. And I was thinking the other day, how many thousands of people have come to Christ in these 25 years? And Brother Fisk, as best I can figure, I've seen in these 25 years myself over 75,000 people come to Jesus Christ. Over 75,000 people. And literally thousands of them I've won in homes, and thousands of them I've won myself. And God has made me a preacher. And now for 25 years I've been preaching. I was on the airplane the other day. Roosevelt Greer. You know who he is? was a big football player, weighed over 300 pounds, played for the New York Giants. Remember him? Roosevelt Greer. He's a big giant of a guy, and now he's sort of an actor in Hollywood, and he's sort of with the new crowd, the hippie crowd. Well, I was at O'Hare Field the other day, and I was at the waiting room, and I was crying because I was realizing how good God had been to me. Somehow or other, I just was overflowing. I mean, I was just praising the Lord. And I got on the plane, and who walked in but Roosevelt Greer? By the way, I saw Lou Alcindor the other day, too, and I saw his knees. But anyway, Roosevelt Greer walked in, and behind Roosevelt Greer, there were a great crowd of hippies with him. They go on the plane, go to Los Angeles, and I was praising the Lord and just rejoicing in how good God has been to me. And they started doing their hippie jargon, you know, and I was smoking something. I don't know whether it was marijuana or not, but it smelled like it wasn't tobacco, and I'm an old, fat, old hand that's smelling tobacco smoke on airplanes. So they were living it up, and they were talking about their peace movement and all the revolutionary stuff and so forth. And I'd been praising God, and so right in the middle of it, I just got fed up, and I jumped up in the plane, and I'm not like this. I hardly ever make a lot of noise. I get back in the back. I mean, on a plane. I make a lot of noise. Here, shut up. Sit still. But anyway, suddenly, I just took it, and I took it, and I took their dirty language. I took their cursing. I took their revolutionary talk, and I just jumped, and I don't know why I did it, and I felt bad because I did it, and I got scared after I'd done it, but I jumped up and just said, Jesus! And when Roosevelt Greer looked at me, I thought I was going to melt. He weighs over 300 pounds, and he's not white. And he looked at me. But you know what? I just get the place. It looks like that God's people. I mean, every one of us ought to go to hell. Every last one of us ought to be in hell this morning. And God in His mercy and God in His love found us as dirty, lost sinners deserving the wrath of God, and picked us up like Ezekiel did that little baby that was dry in his own dried blood, and picked us up and nurtured us back to health, and covered us with his own garment of salvation, and spread his own coat in righteousness over us, and gave us linen righteousness, and gave us embroidered clothes, and has cared for us and nurtured us and given us a church like this. Every one of us ought to jump up this morning and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. How good God has been. And so it's a warning to us. And here's the warning. He says to us, don't be like my baby. Don't be like my baby. Lately, I've talked to several mothers who've been good mothers, I think, but their sons and daughters have gone astray. And they've come to my office and thrown their heads on my desk and wept and said, Brother Hobbs, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. What did I do wrong? What's wrong with my girl? What's wrong with my boy? And Ezekiel reared that. And without a wife, his wife had died. And without a wife, he reared that little baby. And can you feature how he must have cared for her? And then she grew up and became an adulteress. And she became a whoremonger and a harlot. And gave her body to the lewd touches of wicked men. And immorality and indecency. And had no gratitude. And Ezekiel turns and says, Oh, Israel, that's the way God loves you. Why don't you come in gratitude and thanksgiving and repentance to God? And that's what the writer meant in the Bible when he said, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. You know, it's an amazing thing to me why you have to preach on hell to get people saved. There is a hell, and you ought to get saved because there's a hell. And if you die without your sins, you will go to hell. And if you're not born again, you will burn forever. But it just looks to me a preacher ought to get up and say, God loves you. Jesus gave his life on the cross, and God wants to give you eternal life. And right now he's in heaven preparing a place for you. The goodness of God put clothes on your back and air for you to breathe and food for you to eat and love and care and kindness and compassion and concern. Every one of you this morning who are not saved ought to jump to your feet and say, I'm going to be saved this morning. The goodness of God has led me to repentance. But there's also a message here. A message, not only a warning to God's people to be grateful, and we ought to be grateful. It seems to me that if anybody in the world ought to be good, grateful to God, ought to be First Baptist Church people. Here we are in First Baptist Church, the blessings of God so obvious, the goodness of God so plain, and so many folks saved. Listen, last Sunday night after the service, somebody met me in the alley out here. They visited our church. No, two Sunday nights ago. Was that the Sunday night I preached on Satan's bid for your kid? Anyway, no, it wasn't. It was after commencement. A little lady up near Wisconsin Lyon had driven down to our services. She heard me on the radio. She'd driven down to our services, and she has teenage children. And she met me out in the alley as I started to walk in the building toward my office. And she began to weep. And she said, "Oh, Brother Hiles," she said, "if I just lived in Hammond, if I just lived in Hammond." She said, "My boys and girls, they have to go to wicked schools." And she said, their friends are long-haired hippies on dope. And she said, "Brother Hiles, if I could just live here." She said, "Tell your people how blessed of God they are to be in the First Baptist Church." She said, "What can I do?" And listen, all across the country it's that way. People so hungry for the gospel and hungry for a place, a great center like this, and hungry for Christian schools and hungry to see people saved. I was in New York State. A little lady came to me and said, "Brother Howell, the nearest church to me that even preaches the gospel is 150 miles away. I was out in the West not long ago in the Kansas, Colorado area. The lady said to me, she said, "It's been 6 years since anybody was saved in our church." I said, "Why don't you change churches?" She said, "Where'll I go?" She said, "It's 75 miles to the nearest church that even preaches the gospel. And it's been 6 years since I've seen anybody saved. I'm simply saying, if anybody ought to be grateful to God, it's the folks sitting in these pews this morning. How good God's been to us." And so Ezekiel saw that little girl, and she went off into sin. And he remembered Becky was home the other day, and she's going to have a baby. And you know what that's going to make me. And a young whippersnapper like me, a grandfather's beyond comprehension. But anyway, she was sleeping, and I tiptoed in one morning to kiss her. She was asleep, and I was leaving. I tiptoed to kiss her on the cheek. Goodbye. I looked up, and there was her picture when she was a year and a half. Little golden ringlets. You know, can you imagine how Ezekiel's heart must have broken? Here's his own little adopted baby girl. She's old now. Her body sold into sin, that touch in the hands of wicked men. And Ezekiel turns to Israel and says, "Israel, I know how God must feel. I know how God must feel. He took you and he gave you all you have that's good and clothed you and fed you and loved you." And then he says, "Oh, Israel, don't be ungrateful to God." But then he has a message also to all the unsaved and that little baby. Now see that little baby lying there. She's naked. She has blood dried on her little body. And maybe just a little whimper, barely alive. And Ezekiel says to every unsaved person, that's the way salvation is. What could that little baby do to save herself? Nothing. Nothing. "Baby, I want to preach. I got some good news for you. If you'll just take the Lord's Supper, you can be saved. Take communion, you can be saved." Little baby, if it could talk, would say, "I can't take communion. I'm no little child. I can't get up and run. All I can do is lie here and hope that somebody will help me." "Baby, if you'll just get baptized, that's all you got to do, and live a good life and hold out faithful, you'll be saved." And if that little baby could have talked, it would have said, "I'm sorry, I'm a little infant. I can't walk. I can't move. I'm lifeless. I'm here in my own blood. There's nothing I can do but just let someone who will help me." And that's what that way salvation is. "Yes, Brother House, how do you get saved? By living a good life?" You can't get saved by living a good life any more than that baby could get saved by living a good life. "How do you get saved? By holding out faithful?" No, that baby, all that baby could do is just have somebody help. And the Heavenly Father comes this morning if you're not saved. He looks down, he sees you, and his heart breaks with compassion, even as Ezekiel did when he saw that little baby. And he says, "I love you. And if you'll just let me, I'll cover you with my garments. And if you'll just let me, I'll put linen righteousness on you. And if you'll just let me, I'll give you life." And Ezekiel looked at the baby and he said, "Live!" And again, he looked at the baby and he said, "Live!" And God looks at you this morning and he says, "If you will, you can live!" And how do you find that life? You find it in yielding to Jesus Christ. It's nothing you can do to be saved except trust him, and he does it all. "I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. How good God has been." Are you saved this morning? And why don't you go home sometime this afternoon and get alone and remember all the things that God has done for you? Wouldn't I be ungrateful this morning My mother's here. For 12 years, my mother went without a new dress. For 12 years, she didn't buy a new hat or a new pair of shoes. For 12 years, she worked. She walked much of that time 2 miles to work and worked for 50 cents a day. Why? So she could put clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. Wouldn't I be an ungrateful person this morning if I didn't take care of my mother and give her what she needs and love her and honor her? Aren't you an ungrateful person, or wouldn't I be, if I didn't honor Jesus, who lifted me out of the miry clay and set my foot on the solid rock and established my goings? And this morning, if you're not saved, wouldn't you realize that He wants to save you? He looks at you and has the same compassion on you that Ezekiel had on that little baby girl whom He found in her own blood. K.K., you always be a good girl. You have a double reason to be. Christian, you always be good. You have a double reason to be. Unsaved person, God wants to do the same thing for you He did for me. This morning, you can walk out those doors with the righteousness of God covering your old sin. You say, preacher, what church do you join? Doesn't matter. You say, what baptism? Doesn't matter. What communion? Doesn't matter. What religion? Doesn't matter. It's not wrapped up in a piece of bread or a bit of juice or a tank of water or a robe-wearing, dress-wearing preacher. It's wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you this morning would look up and say, dear Jesus, I'm just as helpless as that little baby in His own blood. But if you're willing to give me salvation this morning, I would accept it. And you, in that moment, He'll wash your sins away and cover you in His own righteousness. I hope you will. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee this morning that Thou didst find us as naked babies, adopted us, loved us, saved us, and made us Your own. Give us gratitude. And we thank You that that message of hope is given to every person in this room this morning who by faith will receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. May I ask you a question this morning? How many of you can say, Brother Hiles, I too was an unsaved one. I too was like that little baby, forsaken. I too was lost in my sins, and Jesus came to me and He forgave me and made me His child. And if I died this morning, I would go to heaven. And I know I would. I'm not what I ought to be, but blessed be God. I'm a Christian. I know it. I'm going to heaven when I die because I've been born again. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the house? All over the house. God bless you. You can lower your hands. Keep your heads bowed. I wonder who would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand then. I could not raise my hand because I do not know that I'm saved. But I'm glad God loves me. I'm glad God loves me. And I want to be a Christian. I'd like to be saved. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Pastor, would you pray for me that I might be saved and know it? I want to know. I want to know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. I don't know it, but I want to know it. Pray for me. Quietly on the lower floor first. Would you lift your hand if you want to be a Christian or not? Way up high, raise your hand if you don't know you're going to heaven, but you wish you did. On the lower floor, way up high. God bless you, I see that hand. Who else quickly on the main floor? Lift it way up high. And say with the uplifted hand, include me in the prayer. I want to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please. Quickly, who else? God bless you. Is there another? On the lower floor. Quickly, would you lift your hand and I'll pray for you. On the main floor, right quickly, would you lift it? All over the building on the main floor. Quickly. Back in the back. God bless you. I see that one. Who else would say, pray for me? I want to be a Christian. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, on the main floor? In the balcony on my left, that's the east balcony. You don't know that you're going to heaven, but you want to know. Would you pray for me? Would you say, lift your hand and I'll pray for you? Way up high, would you raise it? The east balcony. Lift it way high and I'll see it. Hurry, quickly. May I see your hand? The center balcony. You'd say, include me in the prayer. I want to be a Christian. I want to be saved and know it. Would you lift your hand, please, in the center balcony? God bless you. Is there another, quickly, in the center balcony? The balcony on my right. You'd say, include me in the prayer. I want to be saved and know it. Lift your hand, please. The balcony on my right. Our Heavenly Father, bless all of these. And may this morning they say yes to Christ. Make it so. Now with heads bowed. How many would say, Brother Hiles, I know I'm saved, but since I got saved, I have not been baptized by immersion since I got saved. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the building, way up high, all over the house, upstairs and down. God bless you. There's one. All the others quickly. In the back, God bless you in the balcony. Who else quickly? Yes, God bless you, fella. I know I'm saved. Yes, there's one up here. God bless you, lady. There's one here. God bless you. I know I'm saved, but since I got saved, I have not been baptized by immersion. God bless you. I see that hand back in the back. Who else quickly, please? Would you raise your hand? Way up high. Way up high. All right, now this morning, God's been good to you. That little baby, don't you think that little baby ought to obey after what Ezekiel did for him? Don't you think you ought to obey after what God has done for you? This morning we have the towels, we have the robes, we have the water all ready. All we need is you. I want you to leave your seat on the first stanza, come down this aisle, and obey Christ in baptism like every Christian ought to do immediately after he's saved. So you come. Those of you that don't know that you're saved, you come. But there are those that ought to join this church by transfer of membership. On the first stanza of the first invitation song, you leave your seat, come down the aisle, and transfer. Others come for baptism. Others come trusting Christ as Savior. By all means, you come and say, yes, I want to do God's will. I want to come this morning and be saved, be baptized, join the church by transfer. Father, bless the invitation. May many come as we sing, just as I am without one plea. Amen. Shall we stand, please? Everyone standing. The choir will sing. On the first stanza, leave the balcony, the lower floor, wherever you're standing. Would you come now and say, yes, I'll trust the Savior. I'll get baptized. I'll join the church. Do it now as the choir sings the first stanza. Don't wait.